This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it's Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, and GP through with you for the next hour. Breaking it all down, we're up at FM 105.7 AM 1340. Also over at fanrunradio.com. You can click that live link at the top, powered by our friends over at MyBookie. We got the free Fan Run Radio app. You need to download that today. It's free. And you can get all 12 hours of local programming here at Fox Sports Knoxville right in the palm of your hands, on the go, wherever you may travel. Hour number two, man. Time to continue to break it down. We got to get into LSU versus Tennessee this hour. Well, the biggest story has been the divisional round playoffs, everything that transpired from over the weekend. Just some great football. If you missed any of what we talked about in hour number one, that portion of the podcast is already uploaded at SoundCloud, or if you already subscribe to the podcast, which I hope that you do, give us a review, give us 5 stars. You can go ahead and listen to that now, hour number two. Let's go ahead and get right back into it. NFL talk, and I'm sorry, guys, but we have to go here, but we go to Nashville for the number one seed in the AFC, your Tennessee Titans taking on the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, Joey B. Titans came up short, and what also was a pretty entertaining game as well. I mean, depending on what side you're on, it was a good game. You had some big plays from some big offensive plays. Then you had some great plays on defense, and you had some miscues from the Titans, and you know, you'd say from the Bengals too at certain points. But in the end, Bengals prevail on a walk-off field goal. Charlie, you were there. Walk us through all of the emotions from the game. I know you don't want to, but you owe it to the fans. Walk us through how the day started, the excitement around it. How was tailgating? How was the atmosphere from the fans going into the game? Everything. I want to know everything.
I arrived in downtown Nashville at 11 a.m.
You went to your bar?
Went to my bar.
Nice.
A lot of people were there. A lot of people were downtown. I mean, I had friends.
And there were plenty of Bengals people. Fans in town, correct, too?
Or not a ton.
Yeah, because the Titans did that thing where they limited ticket policy, so they didn't want the Bengals fans to be able to buy on the resale market.
Both upper decks, you know, had Bengals fans sprinkled in there. And in the corners on the Bengals sideline specifically, I mean, there was some bigger pockets of Bengals fans, but it wasn't like –
it wasn't any type of takeover.
Yeah, it wasn't anything we've seen. It
wouldn't have been like if you played the Bills in Nashville.
Yeah. They come deep. Eagles, I've seen that in the past. Steelers.
Packers, too. Yep. A lot of like the OG teams always take over because the Titans still being a new franchise.
Exactly. And a lot of people used to be big-time Steelers fans.
Yeah.
Like surrounding region.
But, I had all kinds of friends showing up to the table, you know, popping by for a drink, this, that, the other. And we just... We had some drinks, we hung out, and we were all just nervous, honestly. I mean, we were all just...
You were nervous at the start of the week last week, so I get it. I'm sure
on
game day, even more nervous.
You know, we rolled up to the game, got there about 30 minutes early. You had a wonderful little big town national anthem. The energy was pretty exceptional. It was a full stadium. It was unlike I've seen Nissan Stadium in the last 15 years. You know, it used to be something special when the Titans first came to Tennessee, and it faded. Started to regain that form a little bit this year, and that game was loud. That game was very, very loud. When they announced Derrick Henry, you couldn't hear even him finish saying Derrick Henry. That's how loud the stadium got. You couldn't hear whistles. You couldn't – I mean, there were plays that went on because you couldn't hear the whistle even on the field. So it was a rocking building. Unfortunately, you know, it obviously didn't end well. Every time I close my eyes, all I see is me looking at the field, them lining up for the field goal, that I turn my head to the right. I look at the Jumbotron. That way they have the view from behind, and I see the field goal, and I see it just heading right down the middle. I look at the refs, see no flags, and everyone just runs onto the field for the Bengals, and I felt part of my innocence.
Did you immediately look? Evaporated. Did you immediately lose it, or are you just quiet? Because I feel like after the Packers, I just got really quiet.
I mean, I knew.
I didn't have anything to say.
I knew it was over as soon as they completed that pass to Jamar Chase.
I didn't say a word. I just
McPherson, a Florida Gator kicker.
Yep, that's why I drafted a kicker.
Stood there in complete silence. I was just kind of looking at the ground. I was starting to cry. And then
don't cry, Charlie.
That's when the Bengals fan behind me pushed me, and then I had that whole ordeal to deal with. But no, I was just gonna stand there and probably cry and stare at the ground. Honestly, I cried walking out. I'll be honest.
Yeah, that's tough, man. It hits you hard, and I feel for Titans fans just like I feel for myself as a Packers fan and other Packers fans. It's just tough. And you could see the heartbreak. I mean, we'll get into everything that went wrong and place blame where maybe you guys think blame should be placed. But I don't believe that the Titans, man, they wanted it, man. They wanted it bad. A.J. Brown, you saw his postgame presser. You saw Ryan Tannehill. I mean, all of those guys were fighting back tears in the postgame presser. And it seemed like everything was lining up for the Titans. You know, like you said earlier, no clear-cut favorite in the NFL this year. You know, the eight best teams, but it seems like going into that weekend, all eight of those teams kind of have a shot. You know, I wouldn't say – I mean, we said it last week. We said any of those eight teams could do it. You know, you could see ways they could do it, make it to the Super Bowl, maybe get a W. And although you're playing, you know, young Joe Burrow, same time, we talked about it on Friday. Who was the elite quarterback in this matchup as far as who wins the quarterback battle just on paper? I still believe it was Joe Burrow. I don't know that he necessarily did that much in the game. We talked about that. I mean, he threw for over 300 yards.
He was impressive.
I think
it's impressive. It's pretty impressive for your first playoff game.
I don't think he did anything.
Was it second?
Yeah, he played one last week.
Oh, yeah. Well, yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Raiders.
It's okay.
He played good, but he didn't do anything, in my opinion, to win him that game. It was the Titans collapsing that won the Bengals the game. Like, he didn't make a play that stands out. You're like, oh,
there
yeah,
were
a couple
of me, like the one scramble he had and just some of the throws he made. I mean, he didn't really get the opportunity to do a lot because
he just didn't
his
make
offensive
mistakes.
Line looked like I'm not going to make that joke, but
I mean, the fact is, he didn't make mistakes. Tannehill did. That was the difference in the game.
He made one mistake.
Yeah, one interception.
That wasn't his fault, though.
Yeah.
All three interceptions were
Tannehill's
fault.
Well, not only
fault.
That, well, we also didn't capitalize on his bad throws either. Yeah. Jackrabbit Jenkins had the opportunity to capitalize on his other mistake. And
that should have been pass interference on that play, but no, it still went right through Jackrabbit's hands. He needs to get cut because he also gave up the catch to
– He needs to get cut because he gave up the catch?
He gave up the catch to Jamar Chase.
So he should just be cut because of that?
And because he sucked all season, dropped an interception.
Really, he was not bad.
Who are we talking
season.
About? I was
he
looking
was
at
good
Jack
this
Jenkins.
Season.
No,
he had
wasn't.
Janoris Jenkins.
Are you kidding me?
It's Jackrabbit now. He officially changed his name.
I know he changed.
He was good this season. He started. He had a bad couple games to start, and then everyone just wrote him off. And then from that point on, he was excellent. He was our best corner, arguably, in games.
I mean, I know you think everybody's good, Charlie, but
I know you think everyone's bad. There's like a
no,
there's a middle ground.
I've never heard you say anybody who plays for any of your teams is a bad player.
That's just like there's a middle ground, and not enough people realize that. It seems like
not,
to too many people, it's
everything's
either
not black
they're
and
great
white.
Or they suck, and there's an in between. Jackrabbit Jenkins, the numbers will show you that he was very good this year.
Okay, well,
until the end. Even the numbers from the Titans game will show you he was better than Christian Fulton was.
I agree with you. Everything's not black and white.
Okay, but he still dropped an easy pick six early in the game, and he gave up the game-winning catch to Ja'Marr Chase.
He had two balls caught on him all game for a total of 34 yards.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
He also, one of those was the most important catch of the game. And then, like I said, he dropped a pick six that hit him right in the chest.
I mean, that doesn't make you a bad corner. Like, corners just drop interceptions sometimes. Is that a good play? No, that's a bad play. But a bad play doesn't make you a bad player.
Okay, moving on.
I'd agree with that, though. Like, one bad play does just make you a bad player. But, no, I mean, we could say, you know, a lot of missed opportunities from both teams. I mean, Titans late there. But Joe Burrow was able to capitalize on the Titans' mistakes. I mean, we're talking about a guy, and like you guys said, excuse my mistake earlier, but second playoff game, 28-37, 348 yards. And the biggest playoff game to get him to the AFC Championship, this next one will be his biggest, you know, try to get him to elevate him to a Super Bowl. But only the one interception. But it's the fact that he overcame nine sacks, man. A playoff record by a defense. Nine times sacked in this game, and he was still able. Now, maybe he didn't make the flashy play that we saw, Matt Ryan, a big throw, or Pat Mahomes. But also, I mean, they needed those guys on the other end who really got the separation of their receivers. He didn't make some game-winning comeback play like that. But I'm with Charlie. He played well, and he executed when he needed to. And he is responsible for leading them to a win. Now we can place blame as we get more into this game, whether it was Ryan Tannehill's mistakes, where it was coach mistakes. You want to talk about the fourth down play calling, the offensive play calling, or when you went for two, you should have kicked the field goal. We'll talk about all of that, but Joe Burrow did execute like he has to as a quarterback. 865-546-8200. 546-8200 is our number to get on the G3 Help Me hotlines. We'll go ahead and open up the phone lines right now, take a phone call. Top of the morning to you. Who am I speaking with?
How you doing? This is Ole Arbach.
How you
doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Arbaz. How are you?
Have you had your little conversation yet about our cash out last night?
Yes, I told everyone how you are a dumbass and should have taken the bet. Now, watch your language, well, terrestrial radio. Don't get mad.
To let you know, when it was 2,600 cash out, I did try to push the button.
Oh, it didn't work.
It didn't go through. But anyways.
This is my buddy Arbaz. It was a tough night for him. That we were talking about just that last. Dude, you know, when we were all just going crazy watching that game, that was 25 points scored in that two-minute span, exactly 1 minute and 54 seconds.
Oh, for sure. That was one of the best games I've seen of all time, probably.
Yeah. How you feeling about the playoffs moving forward? Arbaz is a big 49ers fan. I gave him his props over the weekend. 49ers taking down the Packers.
I didn't rub it in too bad either, so I'm trying to be respectful for you because you're my boy.
You're very sportsman.
But I am a little worried. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little worried about having to beat a team three times in a season.
Yeah.
It's tough for anybody to do that, so that's the only thing that makes me nervous. I'm still calling my Niners.
Hey, Bass.
And yes, sir.
Maybe something to make you feel better. Teams that have beaten the team, or teams that are 2-0 against a team that play them for a third time in the playoffs, win over 80% of the time. Usually,
really?
You know, once you get to the point where you've won two against them, you know, it's no longer like, oh, it's hard to beat a team twice. It usually just means, hey, there's just something about this matchup where we're just better. So,
well.
Maybe that helps you.
I'm pulling for that. I'm pulling for a rematch of Niners Kansas City, and hopefully we can get the revenge factor from a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you guys do hold that advantage. You were able to beat the Rams there last game of the season, beat them in overtime by a field goal, and then, you know, handled them pretty easily during the regular season as well early on in the season. Maybe there is some luck there. I mean, nobody's talking. The one quarterback that we're not talking a lot about, we glossed over pretty quickly, was Jimmy G. He didn't do anything that exciting, but he continues to win and continues to execute. Wow, everyone that's a 49er fan or anyone talking about football tried to get rid of him throughout the season and last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I told you last night. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Trey Lance or anything yet. I mean, Garoppolo is what he is. He's good for one interception a game. But our defense and the run game's been carrying us through, so Hopefully it continues. I did read something today that Garoppolo is now guaranteed, with what he's done so far, $26 million for next season, which is crazy. 20% of their salary cap right now. But anyhow, just wanted to call in, take my lashing like I... We did. It was fun last night.
It was a lot of fun. We did. I told everyone on the air in the first hour, I was living vicariously through you. The ups and downs that you were feeling, I felt for you. Like, just take the cash out, please. Like, it was my money.
I think I jinxed myself by buying that celebratory round of shots early. Yeah. That's where it was.
You might have waited. Well, hey, appreciate the phone call,
Bass. All right, guys. Have a good day.
Hey,
see
thank you. 865-546-8200. That's the number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. We're going to continue to break down this Titans-Bengals game on the other side. I want to know what these guys think went wrong. Hopefully, GP3 and Charlie don't kill each other during the break. So keep it locked here for more of the Blitz, more Fan on Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz. Good call from Baze right there. Talking about the 49ers pushing on. 2-0 against the Rams during the regular season. We'll see if they can prevail on Sunday. But back to the topic at hand. A lot of you fans around here, you're Titans fans. You want to hear what the guys got to say? You want to hear what we got to say? What the hell went wrong? First of all, I want to hear a little positivity first, so I'm going to go to Charlie with what the hell went wrong, and then
I
we'll
mean
get...
I could be no, positive
I,
about
no,
it.
No, I know you can. Me and GP talked about the game afterwards.
Can you?
He yeah. can. No, we
I want to, like I actually would love to hear. So I'll give you some negativity, and you give me some positivity. Let's switch. It
okay,
up.
Okay well, let's do it.
For the positivity, I say it was pretty apparent Derrick Henry wasn't 100%. So
yes.
I don't think you can put any blame or anything like that on him. I think
no,
he
I
went
agree
out there.
With you.
I think he went out there, gave it everything he had. He just
Foreman
wasn't.
Should have gotten more carries.
Yeah, he should have.
Yeah, he had the hot hand.
Then again, we weren't extending drives enough, well enough at times to be able to get Foreman more carries and work that in. But yeah,
the defense as a unit, unbelievable. Played
Jeffrey Simmons.
I said it. I've been saying it since he was drafted, long before I was on this show. I viewed him as the next Aaron Donald.
Yes. Three sacks.
Yeah.
Three tackles for loss. The defense played like a Super Bowl caliber defense. They did absolutely everything they could. They only allowed 10 points. The other 9 were given up by the offense, basically.
Yeah. I think the defense played incredible as a unit. And I don't like the talk going into it was Joe Burrow was a better quarterback. And he played better, but he's not the reason that the Bengals beat him. And I give credit to the defense for that. I think the defense held Burrow in check for the most part.
I will say at times our defensive game plan didn't make a lot of sense, just like a couple times. I mean, our game plan was, hey, these guys can't block us, so let's just do that.
Yeah.
But I do feel like we played too soft of coverage sometimes when they have some guys that are pretty elusive on like, you know, getting those short catches and then picking up yards after catch. There were times like we were playing too far off of them, especially when we brought pressure. And it was just like, man, if we're going to bring pressure – you know, I know we're scared of getting beat deep, but we got to, you know, get a little bit closer. And Joe Burrow is better when you blitz him than when you don't. So I wouldn't even blitz him as often as we did. Yeah. But
I watched some tape breakdown of the Titans defense the night before the game, and the amount of stunts that they run and the way that they disguise their coverage.
They simulate pressure really well without actually bringing pressure. So, like, you know, they're not going to bring more than 4, but they might drop Harold Landry back into coverage and then have a delayed blitz from the linebacker. And they do stunt more than any other team in the NFL.
And they're damn good at it, too.
They're really good at it.
And like, Jeffrey Simmons is insanely good at engaging in one offensive lineman and then pushing him into the other one to open up a hole for the stunt
guy. And for everything that happened this year, Shane Bowen in that defense and John Robinson specifically, all three of those guys deserve so much credit
100%
for
agree.
The turnaround that happened with that defense. It got to the point where last year, you know, you were just hoping you had the ball last because you knew that your defense wasn't gonna get it done. And then, you know, this year your defense carried you and won you games in the second half of the season when you didn't have anything left on offense. So
I 100% agree with that.
Very happy with them. You know, your secondary was really your worst aspect, and it wasn't bad. Amani Hooker and Kevin Byard were a fantastic safety pairing this year. Christian Fulton, more often than not, was good. Unfortunately, he played maybe his worst game Saturday. Jackrabbit Jenkins was bad for 3 to 4 weeks, and then from there on was really good the rest of the way, especially after he got hurt.
Kevin Byard had a resurgence this year after a really bad year last year.
They didn't use him the right way last year.
Yeah.
This year they did. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, last year he was trying to do too much. You know, they weren't clear on what exactly he could and couldn't do, what his freedoms were this year. I mean, they just put him in a lot of rubber. They let him really, you know, just be free to use his eyes and be more of that free safety. So, you know, pleased with that.
Yeah, I have
Buster
no
Screen
issues
was a good pickup
with the defense really at all.
And, you know, for the most part, they played well. And the catch what Chase had, or was it Chase or was it Higgins?
It was Jamar Chase, I'm pretty
Jamar
sure.
Jamar Chase to set up the field goal.
T. Higgins, all things considered, had a pretty mild game.
Yeah. Didn't love that coverage specifically. Don't know why you were guarding with inside leverage there, you know, when they could just run that quick out. Because all game, when you didn't get the pressure there right away, I mean, they were most successful through the air.
Yeah, it was Jamar
when it
Chase
was when it
out.
Was you know the two outside receivers basically just looked and said, okay, what leverage do they have, are they guarding me with? Do they have inside leverage, outside leverage, and they would just run a breaking route depending you know in or out depending on where the leverage came from. So right there, you know, if you're going to guard with inside leverage, knowing how much time's left, knowing what they're going to try to do, you would like to be able to have a safety that can maybe help, you know, that has that deep third or something, or can help with the outside half if you're guarding with inside leverage. But, you know, normally when you're guarding without inside leverage, that means the safety is outside. However, the safety was inside. So then I would think that you maybe should be playing with outside leverage. So that was frustrating. That happened a couple times. But overall, yeah, the defense was excellent.
I like what you guys said about the running game because I thought the same thing. You know, heading into it, we all asked, you know, is Derrick Henry going to be 100%? I mean, like,
I was told he was from people.
Everything I read too was he was 100%.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, but like, you know, I know at least I thought, well, yeah, maybe he is, but he's got to be pushing himself back pretty hard to get to this game. Like, maybe one more week would have served him well if he could have.
I don't even know. I probably needed another month.
Yeah,
and just the way he was running, like, he was ginger on that foot.
I think it was more so his conditioning than anything else.
I mean, we saw him trip on that one outside run, which normally that's a
– He breaks that
Yeah,
one.
He breaks it.
It was like he stiff-armed too early, and that, like, made him lose his balance some,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he normally does.
And that
outside
field is not a good field either right now. But, so they did resod it, and it played a lot better Saturday. But, you know, I still, like – he had 11 weeks. It's not an injury that keeps you out much longer than that. I mean, you saw DeMarcus Lawrence come back and play well on it after, you know, 10. So I don't think he needed another month. I think he's proven in his career that he's the kind of guy that's maybe a slow starter, that he needs to warm up, that he needs to take those licks a little bit. That's why I wanted him to play week 18. And you know, he just didn't really look like he got all the way comfortable.
He got 20 carries, as you said that you wanted from him. Only 62 yards. They held him to only 3.
He started out with like 12 for a much better number, and then the last 8 carries, I think he got like a yard a carry on the final 8.
Yep, only about 3 yards a carry. On the other side, I mean, Joe Mixon, he was pretty good. He had the 1 touchdown. And then, like you said, it was Jamar Chase. T. Higgins, I mean, he didn't score, but he still had 7 catches on 9 targets for 96 yards, 13.7 average. 22 for his longest. It just seemed like, although maybe like outside Jamar Chase, and he still didn't reach the end zone. I mean, he kept my end zone. 6 targets, 5 catches, 109 yards. The Bengals receivers just, they made the plays when they mattered. They were able to get the separation and get the big first downs every time when they mattered. The Titans were 1 for 8 on third down, guys. I'm pretty sure is what it was, right? The final stat, 1 for 8 on third down.
The offense was terrible the entire game.
Yeah, your third down conversions, and that, you know, really kind of makes for a big difference. We know you have to convert on third down. Third down efficiency, yeah, Titans were 1 of 8 on third down, whereas the Bengals were 7 for 15. So it was clearly the execution. All right, now to what went wrong on the offense. Do you guys put all of the blame on Ryan Tannehill? Of the 3 interceptions, 2 of them were tipped. The first one was bad.
Well, can say they were tipped.
I don't even know if the first one was really that bad. That was a good play by the safety.
The throw was a little bit late, but Jesse Bates did a good job baiting him into it. Jesse Bates, in my opinion, is the best safety in the NFL from a pure coverage standpoint. You know, it's not ideal. obviously you want better from your quarterback.
Especially
but
on the first
same
play.
Time,
the first
you
play
do,
of the
I mean,
game.
You do give some credit to Jesse Bates. Though.
Tell me how was the emotion when that happened? First play? I mean, because you're fired up. The Nissan Stadium's rocking the pregame.
You know, it kind of took
up.
The air out of it, but it was just like, all right, defense, you know what? Hey, let's go to work. You know,
and the
you,
defense went to work.
And they held
them
to
a field goal.
They did.
The decision to go for two was a weird decision.
It just didn't make
it didn't
sense.
Make, it didn't actually make didn't, sense yeah. there. It was like, oh, we got an extra yard. Cool, but just kick the air.
He played the analytics game. You're
I know,
on the
like,
one-yard line, take the 2 points. That's what he did.
Like, I know you expect Derrick Henry to be able to pick up a yard, and, yeah, I do too, but it just – it doesn't make sense to go – like, what's the difference between 8-6 and 7-6? You just take the lead there.
I didn't think we were aggressive enough offensively. You know, I think Todd Downing and Mike Vrabel both got a little bit eh when –
a little
when
lemon
Tannehill,
booty. A little puckered up.
When Tannehill threw that first pick, it's like they started playing not to lose at times offensively.
Instead of win the game.
When you still should have let Tannehill be aggressive and, you know, try to build some of that confidence back – Tannehill played a bad game, and I'm willing to admit that, obviously. The three picks were bad. However, if you want to put all the blame on him, then go ahead, but that's just not right.
The majority of the blame goes on him.
I don't even know if it's the majority. I think, you know, you can say, you know, I guess maybe the majority, the 50, 55%, 60%, whatever.
I think a lot of it goes to Todd Downing, too.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. A lot of it goes to Todd Downing.
The OC.
He was a bum in Oakland when he was there, and he's been a bum for Tennessee this year. And if you look at Ryan Tannehill, the first 2 years as a starter under Arthur Smith, he didn't turn the ball over. I mean, he had an incredible touchdown interception ratio. He took care of the ball really well.
Arthur Smith put him in positions to.
And, but, you know, a lot of times. What?
I'll finish with your point, then I'll.
And this year, you know, I don't ever think it was his accuracy or his arm strength or his arm talent that was that big of an issue. His issues came with his ability to read the defense pre-snap, to make those pre-snap adjustments. And you wonder if some of that's Todd Downing maybe not setting him up well. You know, the first interception, he just didn't identify that Jesse Bates was, you know, playing that coverage over the top, that he was trying to bait him into that, playing that robber right there. He didn't identify, you know, it was an RPO on the second pick that Mike Hilton tipped up in the air. That's something that you should identify. That nickel corner is creeped closer to the right side of the line, and you should check out of the RPO there. You know, that's not going to be a successful play, or at least hand it off. But with that nickel corner crept in there, that no longer gives you the angle to make the pass. Like, that's something that you should identify pre-snap. And you know, the one sack. Three people were trying to tell him, he's coming, and Tannehill didn't check the protection. And, you know, he immediately gets sacked. Like, it's just, there were a lot of instances this year where it was his pre-snap reads that hurt him more so than, you know, him just being wild or inaccurate or underthrowing or overthrowing. And there were also a lot of times this year that Todd Downing made it pretty hard on Ryan Tannehill. It's hard to get in a rhythm as a quarterback. It's hard to be successful as a quarterback when half of your throws are coming on third and medium and third and long. You know, a lot of guys, they'll throw on first down, they'll throw on second down. You know, there's less pressure on those situations. You can throw short of the sticks, but there are so many times this year where over and over again on drives, the Titans would run on first and second down, which is good. Like, we are a run-first football team, but that would then be like, okay, Ryan, you know, you haven't thrown the ball in four plays. Now it's 3rd and 8. Go get a first down. And then it's an incompletion, and then you're off the field. You know, it's really hard to get into a rhythm and be comfortable when you keep not throwing until it's 3rd and medium, 3rd and long.
I mean, that's been the Titans' identity, though, for the better half of 3 years now.
Yeah, but it's not always you threw in run situations more often with Arthur Smith, and you threw.
No, sure. I mean, like, Arthur Smith was a 10-time better OC than Todd Downing was. That's not a question. I just feel like since he became the starter 3 years ago, he's regressed each year. Even under Arthur Smith, I thought he regressed from year one to year two with him. And now he's
to
had
be
three.
Fair.
He's had three opportunities in the playoffs now. He had a really bad game against the Ravens last year. Well, not really bad. He had a bad game. He had a really bad game this weekend. I mean, he's had three opportunities now. He's had all the weapons in the world. that he could ask for, and just can't get it done.
He's definitely had trouble. I want you guys to think about this on the other side, and then we'll table the NFL talk and try to talk a little bit of this Tennessee basketball game before we get out of here today. We'll talk more about it tomorrow as well if you're listening. But something to ponder during the break. I know me and GP3 talked about it after the game through text, but I want y'all to think about this too. Are you done with Ryan Tannehill? Is it time to move on from Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee? Is it time for the Titans to move on from Tannehill? We'll talk about it on this side, on the other side. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz, though. A couple more segments left in us. Welcome back into the Blitz. A couple more segments here. And we're going to get out. Talk Sports will be up next from noon until 3 with John Reed and the fellas. Followed by the Blitz. Followed by the Drive with Russell Smith, the Bear, and Jake Miller this afternoon on your way home when you're getting off work. And then 6 to 8, the Nightcap Overtime. Will Stevens and Tucker Holt do it all again tomorrow, 7 a.m., starting with 3 and out. All right, so the question I asked you guys before we went to break, as a Titan fan, you got to look to the future, generally. You look to the future of your team. You think about next season. You think about the next couple of seasons. And I will start with Charlie. Charlie, is it time to move on from Ryan Tannehill and maybe go after a veteran quarterback, maybe draft a quarterback? What do the Titans do?
I mean, they really are just – they have Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether you like it or not, Ryan Tannehill just is your quarterback next year, so – it is what it is. And, you know, there are a lot of things to ponder this offseason. I don't really know what the right answer is. Part of you wonders if, you know, maybe this year was an outlier with Ryan Tannehill. You know, obviously maybe it's not, but his first 2 years were a whole lot better. This year he had a new OC who I think we all agree was less, you know, than good. He wasn't awful by any means, but he was average at best. And he had a constantly rotating, revolving door basically of skill position players around him, and maybe that contributed to his inconsistency. So maybe the answer is in replacing the offensive coordinator, so, and improving the offensive line.
So take the cap situation out of it. Pretend that's not a factor, because if you want to get something done, you can in the NFL. Assume that cap's not an issue because he does have a huge cap hit. Take that out of it. Would you want to get rid of him for somebody else?
There aren't a lot of options. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is it's not a good draft for quarterbacks. You know, you can make a run at some of the top quarterbacks available, and I would try that. And if you're successful, then yes. You know, if you can make a run at Aaron Rodgers, if you can make a run at Russell Wilson, or if you can make a run at Matt Ryan, then yeah, I would do that. Otherwise, your options are pretty limited. I would probably draft like a guy like Carson Strong in the second or third round.
Try to groom him.
And I would maybe, if not that, I would bring in a veteran backup that is better than Logan Woodside, maybe a Mitch Trubisky, something else along those lines to at least compete with Tannehill. But there aren't a lot of options. You know, his trade value is not there.
No, it's not.
His cap hit does not really allow you to move on from him and pay another quarterback good money. And obviously, you know, you can work around things. You know, you can always find a way. But unless you can really add someone substantially better, you know, I guess, like, you just have to continue to roll with Tannehill and hope that this year was a little bit of an outlier.
All right, so for Tannehill's contract, just for those of you wondering, he has a 4-year, $118 million deal that runs through 2023. Talk about he went from the Dolphins to coming to Tennessee, being a comeback player of the year. And then his body of work in Tennessee, in 43 starts, he has 30 wins, 76 touchdowns to just 27 interceptions. That's 102 passer rating. His contract pays him about the 11th best signal caller in the NFL. But where a lot of people have trouble and gripe with, Tannehill is also 0-3 in his last three playoff starts as a Titans quarterback.
And the Chiefs' playoff loss was on the defense.
And
in the AFC Championship, the Ravens lost. Tannehill wasn't bad, wasn't good. He played an average game. And
I think he played bad in that game. He threw an interception to seal it, and he missed A.J. Brown wide open at one point in that
he
game.
He did regress.
He also made good throws. Like, that's average, you know. It doesn't have to be good or bad.
As you guys said, he regressed this year, totaling 18 turnovers. That was fourth most among all quarterbacks. And just 21 touchdowns in 17 games.
Yeah, I mean, this –
Yeah, I think he only had two games, maybe two or three games this season where he had multiple touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm. And – You need turnover-free football. Like, you don't need, I guess, necessarily a quarterback that's absurd with the way the Titans play.
They lean a lot on Derrick Henry, and most of the time when they're winning, Tannehill's throwing like 15 passes or less because they're leaning so much on the run game and Derrick Henry, you know, getting some takeaways. All right, so you've kind of went about. I get GP doesn't really think that you guys. He thinks you guys should move on. You think that you should go after some of these veterans. And then last question I ask you guys. Can Ryan Tannehill ever lead the Titans to a Super Bowl? I mean, realistically, can he do it? Can he win the AFC?
No, not with the amount of quarterback talent that's in the AFC right now.
Okay.
You have to have elite quarterback play in this league to make it to a Super Bowl, and the Titans don't have it.
Well, you don't have to.
You do in the AFC. You might be able to get by in the NFC right now, but in the AFC, you're not getting past a Josh Allen, a Patrick Mahomes, a Joe Burrow, a Justin Herbert, those guys in the future. You're not getting past them with average quarterback play.
That's a good point.
You can throw Lamar Jackson in there, too.
I mean, we've seen it happen. There's some outliers, you know, a Trent Dilfer going to the Super Bowl winning, Brad Johnson back in the day. And we've seen quarterbacks that aren't talented. We saw Peyton on his way out. He couldn't hardly make any passes over 30 yards, but he leaned on a good defense. So we've seen good defenses carry teams. But I do agree with GP3. Most of the teams that win Super Bowls or make it to the Super Bowl, they do have elite quarterback play, generally. Mm-hmm. Now, there might be a couple outliers here and there, but generally you have a good quarterback.
And even the year that Flacco went, like, he had a really good year that year. Like, that was an outlier for him.
He had one of the best playoff runs of NFL history.
He's had three chances and hasn't been able to prove it, though.
I mean, the first time the defense failed him.
Okay, but, I mean, I'm just saying he's had three opportunities.
You would say at least two times were his fault,
and the defense absolutely did not fail him the last two times, and he was not able to get it done.
Yeah, I mean,
I know it's early.
I'm not saying like
the game just happened Saturday, but this is one question I do. I've wondered from Titans fans: can he?
You have
a
window right now that is open for you. Have a Super Bowl caliber team. The only pieces that are missing is maybe a piece or two on the offensive line and some cornerback depth, but the main piece is a quarterback. You go in, you get a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think that completes it. I mean. I don't think you need anything else. I mean, obviously, you'd like to improve the right side of the offensive line, maybe the left side if you let go of Luan this offseason. But you go out and get an elite quarterback on the market, whether you have to package three first-rounders to get them to take the cap hit from Tannehill or what, you have a window right now that is open, but it will be closed before – It'll be closed in 2-3 years.
Because I think you have a good perspective on this, and this is kind of how I feel just from an outsider. You know, I don't hope that the Titans lose. I told you time and time again, Mom was a big Titans fan, so I hope they eventually do well. But it's when I look at the Titans, I have to kind of agree with you. Like, how much better would they be, like you say, if they got a Rodgers or Wilson? I mean, you feel a lot more comfortable going to a playoff game than with a Ryan Tannehill. Oh, yeah. And then two things can be true. Tannehill's not the worst quarterback. He's like mid-level range. He's between that 10 to 15 range of the quarterbacks in the NFL. But something also that can be true is he can be a good quarterback and also can be a quarterback that probably likely won't ever win an AFC championship game, won't take it to the Super Bowl.
I mean, he can, though. He can. He would have without the worst defense in the NFL 3 years ago.
He wasn't playing an elite quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. That's the difference. I mean, yeah, the defense gave it up, but it's because they were playing an elite quarterback. They did fine against the Patriots. They did fine against the Ravens that year.
But they were not a good defense that year. Like, we can agree to that.
Okay, sure, but they were also facing an elite quarterback. If we have a better quarterback on Saturday, they win that game easily. Well, easily.
I mean, yeah, I know. I know, but to say that he definitively can't win an AFC championship game is wrong.
No, it's not. He can't. He won't.
It's harder
for him. It will never happen.
It's harder for him than it would be if you had a better quarterback, but he still gives you a better chance than a lot of quarterbacks, too. So you're just in a tough situation.
Okay, so saying he gives you a better chance doesn't mean that he will ever win one. Yeah, he gives you a better chance than having a Davis Mills or Tua.
No, just hold up. He made the AFC championship and nearly won it with a bad defense. Now we have a Super Bowl caliber defense. If he played the way he did 2 years ago, you could win an AFC championship. So to say
but
that
he's not the same guy he was 2 years ago.
But he's
he
not
is
that
who
far
we thought he
either.
Was.
He had a bad year. He had a bad
he
year.
He is who we thought he was.
He is who we thought he was coming from Miami.
But just to say that he can't do it, he's literally...
Well, if we think in those terms, anybody can win it. I'm just saying
but
we're
he,
being
I mean,
realistic.
He's been good enough to win you back-to-back divisions to get you the one seed to get you to an AFC championship.
And a bad
AFC
South.
No, he's
AFC
not an elite
South.
Quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not taking away. We won the AFC South. It's been a bad division for a few years now, ever since Andrew Luck got
you're
out of it.
Terrible and division.
It was pretty bad. I mean, you had the Colts, but the Colts didn't even make the playoffs.
And even this year, you beat it. You mean you set an NFL record for wins against teams.
I mean, that's like me saying the NFC North is good. I know it's awful.
Yeah,
it's awful.
It's not a good division. And no, they did. They beat some teams that I did not expect
you
them to.
You broke
the
NFL record
for
wins.
I didn't expect
them to
beat the Rams. I didn't expect them to
beat the Chiefs. You were 4-0 against.
But the playoffs are a completely different animal than the regular season.
Right.
It is.
But to
and
say that he just
and he has
can't.
Proved consistently he can't get it done in the playoffs. If you're going to credit wins to quarterbacks, you have to credit losses to him,
yeah,
too.
I'm not saying that like he has a great chance to, but I'm saying like he can.
So let's go get a guy who does have a great
who?
Chance.
Who, GP3?
We just talked about this. There
How?
Are two quarterbacks that want out of where they're at right now that are elite veteran quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson want out. They want out of
hey,
where they are.
You have to have the team willing to get rid of them, too.
Yes,
the,
I know
that. The Packers
that.
Are not going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. No matter what you do, they aren't. The Seahawks, yes.
If you offer them 3 first-round picks and, I don't know, something else to go along with it, yeah, they probably will because Aaron Rodgers will
And Aaron Rodgers ain't coming to the AFC, or especially to the Titans.
Like it makes sense. Why would a quarterback not want to come to the Titans? They are a Super Bowl team. We're in a bad division.
No, I agree. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I would offer up Derrick Henry. I would offer up Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, and a couple first-rounders for Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, but odds are you're not going to get either of them.
Okay, but you have to go out and try.
Yeah, I agree that we should try, but like the odds are you're not going to get either of them. Like that's just how it is.
Don't be so negative, Charlie. You can.
I think the Titans are in a good position where they have a lot to appeal to a veteran quarterback. I mean, maybe it doesn't have to be those guys. Maybe it's a Derek Carr who wants out of Las Vegas.
Well, Derek Carr also has the whole turnover problem.
Yeah,
and is just pretty much right.
I'm not going to give up Tannehill for Derek Carr. I mean, I'd rather just stick with Tannehill.
I'll probably give him one for Carr.
Ryan Tannehill had 2 back-to-back seasons as a starter where he was statistically a top 3 to 5 quarterback in the NFL. And he had a really bad year this year with all of his skill players constantly rotating and a terrible offensive coordinator. Obviously, he has shown regression. At the same time, with a healthier offense around him and with a better offensive coordinator, it is realistic that next year he can be better again.
He could be, but I don't want to waste the opportunity we have.
Again, we both agree that you try to get those guys, but odds are you're not going to, and then you're just going to have Ryan Tannehill.
GP3 makes a good point as far as every team has a window. You got a window how long you're going to keep some of these star players together. You know, if the Titans continue to go to the playoffs and they keep coming up short, you'll have guys look around, maybe I don't want to be here long term. You'll have guys on your defense. Maybe I don't want to be here long term. If they're not going to put in the work to get out a quarterback that's going to execute and I'm busting my ass on defense, maybe it's time for me to look elsewhere. You do have a window of keeping all of these skilled players together. You do have that. So Titans are going to have a big decision. Do you put all your chips in on Ryan Tannehill or do you try to move forward and bring in something different? Hey, we got one last segment before we switch it over to Talk Sports. Keep it locked here. Quick break. Welcome back into the Blitz. Wrapping up real quick here. Went over time there. Apologies, we did not get to Tennessee basketball talk versus LSU. You'll hear a lot of that on the drive this afternoon.
We don't play again until Wednesday.
Yeah, so
we got
plenty of time. We'll break it all down tomorrow. Like I said, you'll hear about the big basketball win the rest of the day. Shows that have more than 2 hours will be able to break it down a lot more. We only get a quick 2-hour window. And I'm sorry, but the news and the headlines of the day was the NFL playoffs, and that's where I was going to stay. So we do apologize about that. Tomorrow we will get to that big win versus LSU, and we love seeing Will Wade pissed off and mad.
Oh, man, there's so many good little screen grabs
so
from him.
So many good from Will Wade.
And that player that fell down and just decided to lay there for the entirety of the play.
Oh, yeah, it was great stuff. So we'll get to that tomorrow, though. I hope you enjoyed all the NFL talk today. That will be in podcast form as soon as we get out of here very shortly. Like I said, Talk Sports is up next. On the way out, National Calendar Days. Don't have time for if you haven't heard today. But National Calendar Days, it's National Peanut Butter Day. You guys like peanut butter?
Love peanut butter.
Peanut butter jelly time. That's all right. It's also Beer Can Appreciation Day. I love a nice beer can.
I like a long neck.
I like my Bush in a can.
More of a White Claw guy. I want to dish that beer belly bloat.
There you go. You're working on the keto diet. And then also, it's National Compliment Day. Charlie, you look nice today.
You look sexy today.
Thank you. Hey, that'll do it for us. Talk too, Sports GP3. Is up next. Yeah, GP3, you did a great job today. National Compliment Day. Hey,
thanks,
John, we'll have you covered from noon until 3. We'll do it all again tomorrow right here on The Blitz. Keep it locked for more Fan Run Radio.